In this episode, I'm talking with Alan Ullman, who's from the group Jews Against Occupation 48. On the weekend, they organised a rally on Bondi Beach in support of the Samud Flotilla, which incidentally was just bombed by Israel today, which attracted a counter rally from Zionists. Welcome, Alan.
Thank you.
By just giving us an idea of who you are, where you're from, what your background is.
Okay, my name is Alon Ullman. I live in Sydney, originally from Israel. I came here many years ago. I've been in and out of Australia since for a few decades now. I'm an anthropologist by training, worked as an academic, then for a while in the intelligence community here in Australia, then returned to academia, and have been working since then in the area of intelligence studies, cybersecurity, and the like. What else? I've been
Why
really active in the
the move to
last couple
Australia?
of years. Oh, sorry.
Why the move to Australia?
Oh, the move to Australia. Okay, so there are several issues here. First, my mother's originally from Australia. I have family here. By the time I finished high school and made my way through into the military in Israel, it became quite obvious that separation was probably in order for both the benefit of both sides, me and the state of Israel. And so it was kind of convenient to have this option, and to have family back here, grandparents and uncles, aunts, and the like. And so, at some many years ago, and at some stage, I was discharged from the Israeli military, and 2 weeks later, I was at ANU doing my master's in anthropology, sitting in the library reading Engels on the rise of family and private property. It was a great change. So,
So, Jews Against Occupation 48.
yeah.
How long has that group been going? I mean, I've only really noticed them since I've been. I go down to Melbourne quite a bit to photograph the rallies down there,
Yeah.
and I've only really noticed them since I've been photographing the rally. So, how long has the group been around? They seem to be Australia-wide. Roughly,
Yeah.
how large is the
So
group?
the group is generally Australia-wide. It's been in existence for a while now, a couple of decades, I think. I've only joined them fairly recently, but they're probably strongest in Sydney. There are kindred groups in Melbourne, but we have members in Perth, Darwin, and in between. I joined the group actually after the beginning of the most recent attack on Gaza, the genocide. I came to the demonstrations in Hyde Park, and that's where I saw the group itself, people carrying the signs. And I was actually impressed with the group of people standing there and started chatting with them. It was the place, actually, as it happens, that was the place I would chat in Hebrew with people who've come also to the demonstration. And just ended up joining, helping carry the signs, and sort of been drawn into the organization as the activities got more intense and as the whole political climate got much more intense.
I noticed. I mean, there's always been. Well, since I started photographing the rallies in Melbourne in about November. I was covering the referendum for No Fibs, and I was a bit drained after that, so I didn't get straight down to Melbourne to start covering it. But there were always Jews there. But I noticed, particularly after the Australian, or what are they called, the Australian Jewish Council, the Jewish Council of Australia. After they were formed, I noticed there was an uptick in not just Jews, but also Jews willing to show their faces, because a lot of Jews actually wear masks so they don't get identified in the crowd and hassled later in their communities. Have you noticed more people joining the group?
There's been an increase in membership, or people joining, people hanging around, people saying hi. There are lots of people sort of on the margins, but that's the nature of these groups. The Jewish Council of Australia has a different role. So if you think about it, they're more of a community action group that tries to influence the community. We are more of a group of activists, and there's an overlap. Some people are members of both organizations.
Just that new group, the Jewish Council of Australia, seemed to give people more confidence to step out. I'm not the only. I've not. I've, it's not just me. Other photographers said the same thing, that they're noticing more people, more Jewish people in the crowd.
They've definitely they've managed to make visible the voice of Jews who are opposed to the Zionist narratives and to Zionist action. Because what happens, it's such a common experience, you meet people who bump into you at the demonstration and say, "Oh, I'm Jewish. I didn't know you guys existed. I just thought I'd come." And they see you. And then for many people, all of a sudden, they realize that actually they're not that weird. They're actually quite normal, because there are many others who feel the same way. Unfortunately, the media in Australia, finds it just too complicated to explain that there are Jews on the non-Zionist side, and so it doesn't really get covered, and people don't notice, don't realize that there's actually a huge mobilization of Jews, both from within the community, but mostly people who've already left the community, are not involved in the community itself, who are actually now mobilizing over the issue. For many of them, it's a matter also of an extension of people who have been marginalized because the Zionist ideology that drives the organized community doesn't speak to them. So you have many different groups. Now, in a way, I'm an outsider to most of these Jewish trends, because being an Israeli, I mean, we're kind of a different breed altogether. There are also many Jews who prefer to actually organize with non-Jews precisely because they want to reject the notion of Jewishness defining your activism. And I have great sympathy with that perspective as well. But I think many of us realize also at some stage that being Jewish and raising a voice makes it more powerful. So even for, strategic reasons, if you're Jewish, it makes sense to emphasize, look, I'm Jewish and I'm standing here in solidarity with Palestinians, who are at the moment being victimized by the Zionist regime in the name of Judaism, or the Zionist regime claims to be doing what it does on behalf of Jews. And you'll see actually there has been an increase generally across the world in Jews mobilizing against the genocide. In the United States, Jews who are younger than 40, I think I gather, according to some opinion polls, the majority are opposed to Israel's actions. Many of them, maybe the majority, are opposed to the whole concept of a Zionist state. I mean, I don't know. It's a matter, people can argue over questionnaires, but there's definitely a movement in that direction. If you look at the number of people have been arrested by German authorities, for example, for anti-Semitism, a huge number of them are Jews and Israeli Jews who are there precisely to protest against
And in
the
the UK.
ridiculous nature. And in the UK too, which just shows you also that one of the major problems of all these laws against anti-Semitism, which are just manipulated to defend Zionism, and in a way leaving us exposed to the real anti-Semitism. I mean, if you needed a real example of where anti-Semitism lies, you had like this march across the bridge in Sydney with hundreds of thousands of people, many of them Jews, not a single anti-Semitic incident, at least not that we're aware of. And then you have after that the March for Australia, these fascists with neo-Nazi groups. They're the scary Nazi types, not even neo, they're just Nazis, some of them.
I was in Melbourne. There were Zionists in the crowd, actually.
That is bizarre, and that is what we should be really worried about. But
So Sunday's event at Bondi, that was primarily organized by Jews Against Occupation 48.
Yep,
Were other
yes.
groups involved in organizing that?
I think there was the Eastern Suburbs for Palestine. There were the two lead groups. Might have overlapping membership, but yeah, those are the two lead groups. And it's important to emphasize it's local groups. I mean, the Zionist media tried to present it as outsiders coming to provoke the locals. It was actually many of us who come, like I come from the North Shore, but it's in support of our friends and members who live in Bondi. Bondi has a huge Jewish community, and many of them are opposed to Israel, as it happens. I mean, there's no consensus in amongst the Jews, notwithstanding what organized community representatives say. And those people are opposed to it. They had an event which was supposed to be a very toned-down family event. Creating boats, origami boats on the beach. We had a bit of a welcoming from some Zionist flags. Although, I mean, it was many people on our in us on our side group found it really scary. I think, but you know, the emotions were running high. Violence was not much open. There were a few punches, a few hotheads, but other than that, I think we were subject to quite a bit of verbal abuse and the like, but the event happened, was completed successfully, and I think the world got to see that within Bondi there are Jews who are not happy with being dragged into this genocide and who do not support the genocide, who are completely opposed to the genocide. And I'm happy to say that the event, from our perspective, was actually quite successful. We've expressed support with the international flotilla that is going to try to break the siege in Gaza. That is actually the main issue. It is not at all about the Jewish community here. And I'm sorry to tell the Zionists, they're not the target. They're not what we're thinking about, and we're not concerned much about them at all, so long as they don't try to interfere with us. Our main issue remains what's happening in Gaza, a genocide. And for us as Jews, that is the main issue. I mean, both because we have our own genocide that happened not long ago, and also because this is allegedly being done in our name. And so, yeah, we're saying no. I mean, we're not part of it, and we're opposing it.
The thing that struck me about Sunday, I mean, I only watched online, but the first lot of videos that started coming out was that the Zionists or the people that were there to, because I think there were more than just Jewish Zionists there, they co-opted the chants, the organized chants of the National Socialist Network, the neo-Nazis, from last week. I thought, to me, that was very strange.
When those people were standing outside the pavilion over and looking over the beach and were hurling abuse at us, they looked like a very bad quote from the March from Australia, March for Australia, including if you talk about Melbourne, there's this group that originates in Melbourne, the Lions of Zion, who are sort
Yeah, I know
of
them.
in the crypts of crypto. Some of them were in the Nazi groups or the fascist groups, discovered the Judaism. Michael West Media had a very interesting coverage of them a few months ago. Anyhow, so they were there as well. But in a way, I think it looked pretty pathetic when they're just doing the anti-migrant chants, go back where you came from, go back to Lakemba. And I was thinking about telling the Palestinians to go back where they came from. Well, the Palestinians would go back if they had the right of return. Many of them want the right of return. That's what it's all about. They're being expelled and kicked out and massacred in Palestine. But yeah, it definitely was not a dignified position, at least from what I could see. But then they probably have a different perspective on things. But I think, you know, we weren't disrupted. And I'd like to I really think that the organizers this time and the people participated kept mostly focused on the message, on creating an event, a cultural event with singing. There were shanty singers. There were the origami boats and the like, and expressing solidarity with the humanitarian mission to Gaza to break the siege and stop the genocide. And I think that we got that across, and I think that was a success. And, you know, I also hope that at some level, I mean, those members of the Jewish community who are not just pretending, there are many people who are genuinely concerned about it because of prejudice, because of media and the like. I hope they realize, you know, that event happened. There weren't any attacks on Jews. There wasn't any anti-Semitic stuff happening. There was violence mostly from a few Zionists, but it was not that great. But I think, you know, I really would like the, you know, members of the Jewish community who to start thinking about where they stand. And actually, you know, they don't have to go with a Zionist narrative and live in a state of constant fear and constant, you know, work themselves up. There's a world out there which is actually not only about them and not only anti-Semitic. And, you know, I'd like to see them in our midst. I'd invite any Jewish person who is genuinely concerned about anti-Semitism in the demonstrations and so forth to come with me, stand with me at Hyde Park, and tell me if they see anything anti-Semitic when we're going through the demonstrations. I've been to many of them. I have never, ever encountered anti-Semitism.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I've been to that many. I mean, I've been to. I actually know because the photos they go into numbered folders, so I know I've been to 44 exactly, right? Almost 50. And the Palestinian mob and the Jewish mob, when they greet each other, it's big hugs. There's no animosity at all. You know, like. Yeah, I noted that Judith, I don't know her last name, one of the
Trina.
two, yeah, I noted that she put out a tweet at one point that she said that the police had rung her to say that there was a Zionist who was supposed to be held off at a park further away, were heading towards you lot, and the police couldn't guarantee your safety. How did that make people feel in the crowd? In the
Yeah, good question. So I was standing, actually, I ended up standing between on the stairs with a Zionist mob behind me and trying to keep our people away. A police officer did come to me and asked me to make sure that ASAP people do not aggravate or provoke the people on the ramp above us because he didn't have enough people to stop the charge if the Zionists should choose to just charge forward. So I asked the people to move back. They did. We tried to create a barrier. There were a few provocateurs that walked down to the beach and just tried to join our ranks, one of them with camera. You know, and they're standing in our midst. People saw them, ignored them. Some of them were very hard to ignore. There's the one who was actually taking footage of children, making a point of taking very long, protracted footage of the different children around. Eventually, we managed to get a cop to come and escort that person away. So there were attempts to create provocation. I think, from what I saw, it generally didn't succeed. And there weren't many of them. I mean, on the Zionist side, there were lots of abuse, verbal abuse, but not much more than that. So I think it
What I
was
noticed,
serious, but yeah.
I was going to say, what I noted was that they were kind of spread out along the top promenade there,
Yeah.
but they weren't very thick going backwards. So, yeah,
No.
it
Yeah,
probably wasn't a very large crowd.
No, there wasn't, and I think that, you know, the presence of the police was really important there. So, you know, that we have a checkered record in our relationship with the police. This time, I think generally they were professional. They kept the people apart. I wish there'd been more of them to actually, you know, chill the Zionist crowd. They were supposed to stand on the lawn as far as we knew, and then there wouldn't be any contact. We wanted to make sure there is no contact between the two groups. We wanted to prevent any provocation. We were not there to create any violent scenes. We did not, that wasn't the aim at all. I wish there'd been more of the police so they could keep it, but you know, the ones where they did what they could. Generally, I gather, the camps were separate, were kept apart. And the event, like I said, I think we
Yeah.
think it was quite successful. We made the point about Gaza, and it was about Gaza. It was not about the Zionist community or the Zionist leaders of the Jewish community here.
Yeah, I couldn't work out whether he was there. Was Avi Yemeni there?
I don't think so. I didn't see
Yeah.
him there. Yeah, I think he's one of those people who. You know, let me put it this way. I mean, these days, I think it must be very confusing to be a Nazi because you have a few of those hothead Jews who are crashing your party, like Ali Yamini. And it's definitely it's beyond obscene. I mean, like when you have someone like him proclaiming to be a Jewish Nazi, I mean, and he says so, it's his words. I mean, like, for heaven's sake,
Yeah, no, I know.
really?
That's wild, that. So you would have seen the news that that the lead boat in the flotilla was effectively bombed today. You seen that news? How does that make you feel, seeing that?
It's outrageous, but it's not unexpected. The flotillas being attacked by Israel is not new. There was the Mavi Marmara many years ago from Turkey, where people were actually killed by the Israelis during the takeover. It was a very violent takeover. Right now, the world is watching, so they're trying to be a little bit more polite, but they're still pretty brutal when they take over the flotilla. These are breaches of international law, and they're actually allowed by and supported by the Europeans and North Africans. Now, may I just point out that international law is quite explicit. When you have genocide, it's not only that you're supposed to not play along, you're supposed to intervene to prevent it and stop it. Instead, we have these governments, any pretense at rule of law or maintaining international law is gone, and there they are actually helping, facilitating an attack on people who are trying to do the right thing and break the siege and do what they can to stop a genocide. It's outrageous. And yet,
I found it was in, sorry, I found it was interesting that Tunisia's denied that there was any drone activity in the area, when the evidence says that clearly there was, and
Look, I
you know, the
mean,
video. I don't understand what's going on there with Tunisia.
okay, the Tunisian government is a typical government in the Middle East these days. So it's a pretty, Tunisia was the place where the Arab Spring started. Unfortunately, through various machinations, they have an authoritarian regime that is actually being bankrolled and funded by the Europeans because, for one, it actually plays a major role in stopping African migration to Europe. So it's very convenient. So, we'll overlook the little brutality here and there because it serves the interests of Fortress Europe. Those regimes are generally under Western influence. They require Western support. And of course, therefore, they support American and European interests in the Middle East. And, they'll say what they need to say in order to justify their position. And the more they do it, the more cynical, the more the cynicism appears, the more they're hated by the people, the more they need the Western support in order to keep on staying and dominating the people. And in effect, one of the interesting things is that you see the conflict over Palestine is actually embedded in all these other conflicts. So one of the things is the Middle East, and one of the issues, the struggle over Palestine, is also at one at the same time, one at the same time, a struggle in the Middle East over political citizenship for the vast majority of people of the Middle East. The majority of people of the Middle East do not want to see this genocide, not want to support the genocide, and want to oppose the genocide. The regimes in the Middle East are forced to play along with the genocide, and that aggravates and shows the whole fallacy of that underlies the ideologies of regimes in the Arab world. By the same token, around the world, the whole world, this is now becoming the major clash point between, the flashpoint between the South and the North, the privileged and the underprivileged, and within the West, also a point for generational politics with younger people being more and more opposed to what's happening in the Middle East, in Gaza, and more generally to the pretty oppressive nature of the global order. At the very same time as we're seeing inequality in power and income growing even within the affluent world.
Yeah, it's interesting because I look at, you know, in Egypt, and also, I guess, in Lebanon, the whole thing seems to be destabilizing a few countries around the region.
Yeah.
To me, looking from the outside in, you know, like definitely in Egypt, the government is not with the people. They're in a completely different space, it would seem.
Absolutely, yes. Egypt is in a very sorry state, and that is a major issue. Egypt, Jordan, you have a regime that, you know, it's pretty much a major collaborator of Israel. Syria is a basket case, and Israel is just stirring conflict within Syria while occupying parts of Syria. Israel is also directly being getting involved in Lebanon. And in many ways, you know, the whole political landscape in the Middle East is screwed up by the imperative that the Europeans and Americans impose on the region of supporting Israel's interests. It is impossible. Yeah.
I can't remember who it was off the top of my head, but I saw an interesting thread the other day, and the main gist of it was that if you're only talking about Israel, you're missing the point. It's actually Western powers that are driving what's happening in Israel.
Absolutely, and look what's happening in Australia. I mean, in Australia, it is just amazing, the power. It's the leverage of power that the Zionist lobby is able to use. In fact, what we're seeing here, Bob Carr is right. This is probably the most effective foreign interference campaign in Australian history that we've seen here. We have this Zionist lobby that uses its power, controls the boardrooms, controls political party rooms, and uses that to impose itself across the board. Universities are now being dragged in, cultural festivals and so forth. Against that, we have activists who are pretty much mobilizing outside of the centers of power. And this is now becoming a major flashpoint between, you know, the more the established elite and those who want to actually break its power. It is remarkable how much of Australia's public life is dominated by the need to support Israel or protect Israel or defend Israel from criticism. How much we've given up of the rule of law, of civil liberties, and so forth, just in order to achieve that. How much we've bastardized universities, degraded cultural institutions, just to allow that to happen. It is just remarkable, and in many ways obscene.
Yeah. So look, we'll leave it there. I'll ask you one more question.
Sure.
Are you planning on doing anything else, any other actions around Bondi or?
Well, at the moment, I don't think we don't have anything specific planned as far as I know about Bondi, but it doesn't mean we're not going to go back there. We definitely thought it was a successful operation. Contrary to what some of our detractors say, it's not just about provoking the locals, but, you know, it is making the point that you have in the eastern suburbs, you do have Jews who are opposed to Israel's policy, and they have the right to use the beach like everybody else. The beach is not has not been given to the Jewish community, has not been promised by God to anybody. If anything, it is Aboriginal land, always was, always will be. And so long as so long as the Aboriginal people of the area do not tell us that they don't want us there, I don't think we need to ask permission from anybody else.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening and hope you enjoyed this No Peeps podcast. Until